Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace, Amarendra Prabhuji, on the call with us. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of glories of Katyayani Vrata. I'd like to speak a few words to introduce our very esteemed speaker. Preaching is the essence. Actually, preaching is real Guru Dakshina. The only thing Guru asks from His disciple is that he practices himself and also teach others. This quote by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj aptly describes our speaker for today, His Grace Amarendra Prabhuji, who practices what he teaches. His classes on Srimad Bhagavatam are truly relished by all, and in his sincere endeavor to follow the instructions of his spiritual master, His Holiness Radha Govinda Das Goswami Maharaj, he travels worldwide spreading Krishna consciousness in universities, temple congregations, and various other social platforms. His preaching endeavors also include many student conferences, and he has also contributed in areas such as interfaith harmony, and science and spiritual synthesis. Academically, Amarendra Prabhuji is a master's in electrical engineering from the University of Massachusetts, and spiritually holds a Bhakti Shastri degree from Mayapur. Amarendra Prabhuji was born in a loving devotee family. His mother, Sundari Mataji, and father, Shyam Chandra Prabhuji, are disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Maharaj played a pivotal role in his spiritual advancement and was his guiding star all throughout. Krishna consciousness blooms and blossoms only in the association of devotees, only in Sadhu Sangha, and that's exactly what we see in Amarendra Prabhuji, who grew up in Juhu, Mumbai, amidst the esteemed association of sannyasis like His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, His Holiness Narmada Maharaj, and many more. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for your time and giving us your very valuable association this morning. Please take over and thank you for enlightening us on this topic. I'd like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I really want to offer my obeisances and offer my gratitude to all the wonderful organizers on this call. Thank you for kindly having me over. My special gratitude to His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu also for kindly embracing me in this fold. Whatever I speak, I will be speaking on the basis of the commentaries of the Acharyas supported by Srila Prabhupada and what I have heard from the lips of my spiritual master. And if there are any mistakes as far as Siddhanta is concerned, as far as presentation is concerned, may all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis on the call kindly forgive me and pray for me so that these mistakes are fixed with time. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we will be dwelling straight into the 22nd chapter of Canto 10. And the topic for today deals with the gopis of Vrindavan performing Katyayani Vrat to get Krishna as their husband. Now this month is the month where Gaudiya Vaishnavas observe the Katyayani Vrat. Even on the Vaishnava calendar, we see as soon as the month of Kartik departs, the month of Margar Shirsha, or the month where the gopis perform the Katyayani Vrat, appears. So it is our great fortune that we are attempting to hear, speak, and discuss and meditate on this very wonderful pastime from Dasham Skanda, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 22, where the highest example, the highest zenith epitome of devotion, the gopis of Vrindavan, in the land of Vrindavan, taking shelter of Yamuna Rani, worship Katyayini Devi to get Sri Krishna, Vrajendra Nandana Shamasunda, Rasika Shekhar Radha Raman Sri Krishna as their husband. We will be reading the Srimad Bhagavatam from text 1, and in the interest of time, we will keep moving from one verse to another in the time span that we have. So I kindly request the devotees to kindly participate in this discussion by opening up the Srimad Bhagavatam, text 1 onwards of Canto 10, Chapter 22. Just to quickly repeat, so that the devotees find the number useful, it is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 22, text 1 onwards. We will be mainly dwelling with the points that Srila Prabhupada makes in the Krishna book, because Srila Prabhupada had already departed to the spiritual abode by the time the translation and the commentary of this chapter came into the 10th canto. Prabhupada left very specifically during the Brahma Vimohan Leela, after which very sincere disciples of Srila Prabhupada have taken up this task to do it on his behalf. So we will be dwelling on Prabhupada's words from the Krishna book and the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Saratha Darshini Tika, and the words of Srila Jiva Goswami in the Krama Sandarbha. Just in the interest of time, we will not be dwelling into the commentaries of Sripad Vallabhacharya, Srinath Chakravarti and Veera Raghavacharya, whom Srila Prabhupada has quoted profusely in other chapters of the 10th canto, which has been like the driving force for all the purports of the Bhagavatam. The Sri Shukha Uvacha, Srila Shukadev Goswami is speaking.
Hemante prathame masi Nanda Vrajakumarikaha Cherur Havishyam Bunjanaha Katyayani Archana Vratam.
Translation: Srila Shukdev Goswami said, during the first month of the winter season, the young and unmarried girls of Gokula observed the vow of worshipping goddess Katyayani. For the entire month, they ate only unspiced khichdi. Purport: the word Hemante refers to the month of Margar Shirsha, from approximately the middle of November to the middle of December, according to the Western calendar. In Volume 1, Chapter 22 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments that the gopis first ate Havishya Anna, a kind of food prepared by boiling together moong dal and rice without any spices or turmeric. According to Vedic injunction, this kind of food is recommended to purify the body before one enacts a ritualistic ceremony. So the words in this verse are very important. The first phrase is Hemante Prathame Masi. So it's interesting, the Saptami Vibhakti in Sanskrit has been used, which means a sense of location, a sense of the specific time frame has been described. So Masi means in the month, like Masa, Chatur Masa, Purushottam Adhik Masa, Kartik Masa, ityadi. So Masi means in the month. Which month? Which specific month? Prathame. Prathama means the first. So in the first month of which season? Hemante. So according to Vedic understanding, we have 6 seasons of 2 months each. So 6 times 2 is 12 months. So let's say we start with Sharad Ritu. Sharad is the, just like we see the month of Kartik starts with Sharad Purnima. So that is Sharad Kalina Rasa Leela, when Krishna performs Rasa Leela during the Sharad Kal. So that is very roughly September, October, and let's say up to the mid of November. And so they have 2 months each, the Sharad Ritu, and after Sharad Ritu, we have Hemant Ritu, And Hemant Ritu, also Hemant season, also has 2 months. So 6 seasons, 2 months each. Sharad, and then Hemanta, which is November, December, January. And after Hemanta, we have Shishira, which is winter, let's say January, February time span. And then after that, we have Vasanta in the time frame of, let's say, March. So Vasanta is the spring. So first we have the Sharada, and then we have Hemanta, pre-winter. Sharad could be mentioned in English as the autumn season. And Hemanta is pre-winter, and Shishira is winter, after which we have Vasanta, which is spring, after which we have Grishma, which is summer, and then Varsha, which is monsoon. So 6 seasons, 2 months each. So even in the time of Hemanta Ritu, we have 2 months. Hemanta is pre-winter, so we have 2 months out of the Hemanta Ritu. First is Margar Shirsha, and the second is Pausha. So interestingly, of all the months in the Gita, Krishna says, Masana Margar Shirshoham. So Krishna is saying, among all the seasons, I am Hemante Prathame Masi. I am the first month out of the 2 months in the season of Hemanta. And that is the month where the gopis perform the Katyayani verse. So even when Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he remembers the gopis of Vrindavan performing Katyayani verse. Therefore, Hemante Prathami Masi, the first month out of the 2 months of the Ritu of Hemanta, is so dear to Krishna that Krishna says, among all the months, I am Margar Shirsha. Now, interestingly, in the second month of Hemanta is Pausha. And that's when you worship Krishna with flowers, it's called as the Pushya Abhishek. So the Pushya Abhishek, oftentimes in the company of devotees, oftentimes it's called as Pushpa Abhishek, which is correct too, because it is the offering of flowers. But traditionally, it is the offering of flowers in the month of Pausha. So it's Pushya or Pausha Abhishek. The 2 months of the Hemanta Kal. So here Shukdev Goswami says, not the second month of Pausha, but the first month, which is Margar Shirsha, in the season of Hemanta, pre-winter, is when this whole pastime is being described. It's very interesting that Shripad Sanatan Goswami, in his tika, in his commentary, he says, why is Shukdev Goswami talking about Hemanta Ritu? So he says, the main reason is, this is Krama Praptam. Krama Praptam means chronologically the Bhagavatam is being described here. So previous chapter was chapter 21, Venugit, which is describing the Sharad Kalin Leela, where Krishna is playing the flute and the gopis are expressing their heart, and Krishna is expressing his heart through the flute sound. And that happened during the autumn season, Sharad. So Sripad Sanatan Goswami says, therefore chronologically, the speaker Shukadev Goswami continues from autumn to pre-winter. And he is describing the Krama Praptam Leela, something that has been obtained chronologically. Now, after that, important point to be noted, very, very important, is that this pastime is so exalted that Srila Shukadev Goswami is speaking this on the fifth day of his description. Some acharyas, they differ to say it is the sixth day. Some say that the fifth day ended when Shukadev Goswami was speaking about the appearance of Sri Krishna. But some say it continued. So nonetheless, whether it's fifth or the sixth day, the point to be noted is Shukadev Goswami, who is Virakta Chudamani, who is the crest jewel among renunciants, will not speak a mundane, materialistic, romantic, lusty affair of Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis if it was in any way tainted with lust. Because it is completely transcendental, Shukadev Goswami is speaking this leela. Now, Shukadev Goswami being the son of Vyasadeva, this is really high-class responsibility to carry. Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas is the Shakti Avesh avatar of Sri Krishna, and to appear from him and to speak about something very lusty and mundane in this world will be really derogatory in many ways. So Shukadeva Goswami is keeping up the culture by going up the ladder of rasa, speaking about the Sakya Leelas previously, typically the Brahma Vimohan Leela and other pastimes, and talking about the Vatsalyamai Leelas, like the Mrida Bhakshan Leela, where Krishna is eating dirt in the 8th chapter, and the 9th and the 10th chapter, which is the famous Damodar Leela or the Dam Bandhan Leela. So the Sakya Leelas have been described, the Vatsalya Leelas have been described, and Shukadeva Goswami is going up the rasa ladder by speaking the Madhurya Leelas. So Shukadeva Goswami is speaking the truth. Second, it's interesting that repeatedly in this chapter, Shukadeva, and in the next chapter too, Shukadeva Goswami keeps calling Maharaj Parikshit as Hey Anga, Hey Nrupa, Hey Anga, Hey Nrupa, Hey Anga, Hey Nrupa. Anga means, oh, he who's part of my body. And Nrupa means he who's the king of the whole creation at that point, in the material realm, let's say, Bhumandala. So, someone who is very dear to my body, I wouldn't try to cheat him in any way. So, Hey Shukadeva Goswami, Hey Parikshit Maharaj, you are on your departure bed and you are trying to hear Hari Katha to save yourself from Takshak. Not materially, but spiritually, to be absorbed in Krishna. So, I wouldn't cheat you by speaking about mundane romance. That is the purport behind calling him Anga. And the purport behind calling him Nrupa is that, O King, you have given up the opulence of the whole world to trust me. Why will I cheat you? You are on your departure bed. Why will I cheat you? You can cheat someone, let's say, if you're selfish in some way. But someone as selfless as Shukadeva Goswami will not cheat anyone, especially someone who is on his departure bed after giving up the opulence of this world. Moreover, it is important to note that this conversation is happening in the assembly of very exalted great devotees and very great exalted yogis who have nothing to do with the identification with this body. They are completely Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, na shoshati na kangshati, sama sarveshu bhuteshu madhaktim labhate param. They are completely on the transcendental platform. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti maashrita. So they who are transcendentally situated will not entertain if this discussion was in any way lusty. More important to note, all of this discussion is happening on the banks of the holy river Ganga. Devi Sureshwari Bhagavati Gange Tribhuvana Tarini Tarala Tarange Shankara Mauli Viharini Vimale Mama Matim Astham Tava Padakamale. Adi Shankaracharya glorifies Mother Ganga by saying, Devi Sureshwari, Hey Devi, you glorify and you purify even the 330 million demigods. Devi Sureshwari Bhagavati Gange Tribhuvana Tarini Tarala Tarange. Your restless waves are pure enough to purify the three planetary systems. Tribhuvana Tarini, you can uplift. Tarala Tarange, by your waves. You're so pure that Shankara Mauli Viharini Vimale. You are Vimale. You are very, very pure. Vimala. That you frolic on the head of Lord Shiva. Shankara Mauli. Viharini Vimale. Mama Matim Astham Tava Padakamale. Oh Ganga, please give me the blessing that my mind is always at your mercy. So that Ganga, who's so pure, on her banks, why will any person speak lusty things? Even a conditioned soul in Kali Yuga, who's filled with lust, will not speak something like that when he goes to Haridwar. He goes to take Ganga Snan, he will try to be pure, he will do Achman, Om, Pavitra, Pavitra, Ityadi, but he will not speak things of that world. He will probably speak these things in Mumbai or in Delhi, but he will not speak in Haridwar. So what to speak of Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj and the assembly of sages like Narada Muni and Parashara Ityadi. So this pastime, if it has been described, it is worth understanding that it is very exalted. So those who don't understand, it is their problem. It is not the problem of the pastime. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada in this regard would say that if a child looks at the sun and spits, the spit is on the face of the child, not the sun. Because the sun is so far out that he is beyond the spitting of anyone, including the demigods. So this pastime is like the sun. Very effulgent. It has purified the minds and the hearts of so many who have meditated. So how can there be lust in the activities of that Krishna by remembering whose pastime a lusty man becomes pure? Vikriditam vrajavadhubi idam cha vishnum. Shukdev Goswami says, Bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam. Just by remembering Sri Krishna in Vrindavan, along with his Brajbasi associates, Ridrogam, the lust which is the disease of the heart is thrown out, it's flushed out. So there is no lust. Also, it is to be noted that for lust to reside, Krishna says in the Gita, the three sitting places of lust are mind, intelligence, and the senses. And all three of them are material. And Krishna's body is completely transcendental, free from gross and subtle covering. So how can there be lust? Now, continuing to the second phrase of our verse, Nanda Vraja Kumarikaha. Here it is very important to note that repeatedly, in the next few verses we will see, Shukadev Goswami keeps calling the gopis of Vrindavan as Kumarikaha, Kumarikaha, Kumarikaha. What does that mean? Kaumaram acharet prajnyo. Prahlad Maharaj uses the word kaumaram or kumara to mean from birth up to the age of 5. So the point to be noted is that the girls or the gopis who are performing this vrat are not more than 6 years old. So in pictures where we see that it's like grown-up women, that is not so accurate. Because this is Kumarikaha. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are not women. Even now when we go to Vrindavan, we see so many times, sometimes naked boys and girls at the age of 3 and 4 and 5 are just running around. You know, oftentimes we see, especially boys, it's such a pain for the Brajbasi mother because they will change the pant of the child and the child will pass water and again wet the pant and again come home and the mother has to change the pant again. And they don't have the concept of diapers in Vrindavan, in village culture. So what the mother does is she just puts a shirt for the little Lala who's running around and then he's covered by the 10 directions under the waist. So he's just running around. So it's just the same culture. We see the pastime has been described for those less than 6 years old. So Kumarikaha, very, very important word. It's not women whose clothes are being stolen. These are 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, not more than 6 years old. Kumara Avastha. So this is the first point to be noted. The second point to be noted, Shukadev Goswami doesn't just say Kumari. He says Kumari Kaha. The word, the ka pratyay, the syllable ka used here at the end of the word Kumari, stands for the word Komala, which means very soft-hearted. So these girls are tender-hearted, soft-hearted, innocent, sweet, pure, Vrajvasi girl. This is to be understood. Very komal hriday. They are very soft-hearted. They are childlike. They don't have this concept of love. So you see, the word used is kumari, which means they are young, and at the same time, the pratyay, ka pratyay has been added at the end, which means komal hriday. They are soft-hearted. They are tender-hearted. They are very sweet and innocent and pure-hearted. Their minds and hearts and senses are very pure and they are childlike. So we see even in the Gopi Geet, the word used is Nakhalo Gopika. Gopika. Instead of using the word Gopi for Mother Yashoda, the Vrajagopis are using the word Gopika. Nakhalo Gopika Nandano Bhavan in the fourth verse of the 31st chapter. So this word has been used so many times. Devika, Gopika, Kumarika, again meaning tender-hearted, soft-hearted, innocent, sweet, so and so forth. That's the second meaning. First meaning is they are young. Second meaning is they are tender and soft-hearted and pure. Now, third meaning for the word Kumari used here, it's very interesting. Again, from the commentaries of Shripad Sanatan Goswami, Jiv Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, that the word Mara is another Paryayavachi Shabda, another alternative word used for Cupid, Kamadev. In the different words used for Kamadev, one word is Mara. So Ku means Kupsita. Kupsita means almost eclipsed or frowning or withering away. So Mara or Cupid is so attractive, so beautiful that he can attract any male and any female in this world with his 5 arrows. But these girls are so beautiful and so transcendently situated that Mara becomes Kuksita. That Cupid's position becomes withered away, completely eclipsed. Cupid's beauty is completely eclipsed by the beauty of these Vraja Kanya, Vraja Kumarikaha. You see, so much depth is there just in the second phrase of the first verse of this chapter. So this is the third meaning to be understood, that they are so beautiful that even Mara, which is Kamadeva, his beauty becomes Kupsita. So Ku Mara. Ku means Kupsita, Mara means Cupida, Cupid. Therefore Krishna is also called Nanda Kumar. The son of Nanda Maharaj is one meaning. Oh, but he's so beautiful that his beauty can wither away and completely eclipse even millions and billions of Kandarpa Koti. Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govindam Adhi Purusham Tamaham Vajam. Now this is the third point to be noted. The fourth point to be noted here is, why are the words Nanda Vraja used before Kumarikaha? One important point to be understood is that these girls were not in any way blood related to Krishna. They were not Krishna's first cousin, you know. They were not the daughters of Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, Nanda, and other brothers, and so on and so forth. Because they would directly become sisters then to Krishna. So, to make that point clear, the word is Nanda Vraja Kumarika. Oh, those young girls who were part of the village of Nanda Maharaj. See, Vraja is the village here. Nanda Vraja Kumarika. Not the Kumarikaha in the family of Nanda Maharaj, but those in the village of Nanda Maharaj. So the main point Sripad Sanatana Goswami is making here is that they were not blood related to Krishna. So no one should point a finger hearing or reading this section saying that, oh, Krishna is actually accepting the position of being the husband of someone who was in some relation to Krishna, as maybe the brother and sister, cousins and so on and so forth. They were not related to Krishna through the bloodline. So that is to be understood. Also, another meaning of the word Nanda Vraja Kumarikaha is that these were actually daughters of small places and small landlords in Vrindavan. So Nanda Maharaj was the ultimate king of all the gopas. But there were small gopas who headed small sections of Vrindavan. And they were not in any way economically, financially fit enough to match Nanda Maharaj's status. So they could have never imagined that their daughters can ever marry Krishna. It's not possible. Because as far as status is concerned, they couldn't equal Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was the king of Vraja, and they were all small gopas under Nanda Maharaj's territory, or under his umbrella or auspices. And these were Kumarikaha, in the plural again, daughters of those small town landlords, who could have never imagined that Krishna could have become their son-in-law. So those Kumarikaha who wanted to marry Krishna, they approached their fathers. Because at that time it was Balvivaha, it was child marriage. So somebody could ask this question at the present generation that, well, wait a minute, they are only 5-6 years old, why are they talking about marriage? Because that was the custom. Parents would meet and they would have the relation finalized. But then the boy and girl would meet only when they turn, 18 or whatever. But the relations were made in childhood by the parents. So these girls were actually daughters of those small town landlords. And they went to their father and they said, we desire to marry Krishna. Father said, oh, it's impossible. This is such an impossibility that I cannot share this to any other landlord of my own status. Nor can I speak this to anyone else who's not a landlord, nor can I speak this to Nanda Maharaj. But the only advice I can give you is that you try to the best of your ability, and if you succeed on the basis of your austerity and the blessings that you receive, the impossible becomes possible through mercy. So through our arrangement, it's not possible. So all these moods and these feelings are expressed through Nanda Vraja Kumarika. That these were actually the daughters of small town landlords of Vrindavan. And again, to reiterate the first point, they were not blood related to Krishna. They were daughters of those in the village of Nandamohan. So these were the first two phrases. Now moving ahead, another important point to be noted is that Srimati Radharani is not part of this Leela. It's a very, very important point that Srimati Radharani is the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, who is the king, again, of the same status or in fact even better status than Nanda Maharaj. So Radharani is not part of this Nanda Vraja Kumarika description. Radharani is not part of this pastime. So the third line now describes what did they eat? What did they eat? Havishyam bhunjanaha. Plural sense is used. Bhunjana. Havishyam is the word used. Now what does the word Havishya or Havishya Annam refer to? Annam of course means rice or food. And Havishya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Jiva Goswami in the Krama Sandarva explains herein that Havishya refers to those ingredients which are worthy of a havan, which can be offered in a havan or a fire sacrifice. Now, what are the typical ingredients which are offered in a fire sacrifice? Let's say ghee, a bit of water, jaggery, fruits, milk, rice, sweets, etc. So these are things which are which could be categorized as Havishya because they can be offered in a havan. So these are the words of Srila Jiva Goswami. It's interesting to note that in the first verse itself, Shukadev Goswami is pointing out the time of the year when they're performing the vrat. Shukadev Goswami is mentioning the consciousness of the purity of their mind in the second line. In the third line, he is mentioning their diet. So it is very important that if we want God's realization, we want to achieve spiritual perfection, it's of paramount importance to note, to signify what is the nature of the prasad that we are accepting. Very, very important. In Hindi, they say, jaisa ann, vaisa man. Jaisi pani, vaisi vani. So, you are what you eat. Even according to Ayurveda, we see, ahara shuddhi, sattva shuddhi, dhruva smriti. That depending on what we eat, sattva shuddha, the consciousness gets purified, either purified or putrefied, depending on what we eat, and dhruva smriti. Whether we are able to retain smriti or memory, or we lose data very quickly off our head, it also depends on the consciousness of the food that has been cooked. So we cannot be eating whatever, wherever, whichever, whenever, and expect that we will eat our way back home, back to Godhead. Of course, Srila Prabhupada stressed so much on food. Prabhupada, when he was preaching in this world, in the 60s and the 70s, Prabhupada could have just said that, oh, don't worry, you just chant Hare Krishna, eat whatever you want. But Prabhupada was so fixed about it. Even in the purports, Prabhupada says, no meat eating, no onion, no garlic, no tea, no coffee. And Prabhupada also said, we are not vegetarians, we are prasadarians. We are accepting only that which has been accepted by Krishna. So it's very, very important what we honor. Who is cooking? Very important. Where is the ingredients coming from? Very important. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this regard mentioned a very, very important point. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during his standpoint, had a very high standard of chanting japa. Now, Prabhupada made it to 16 minimum for us. Prabhupada sometimes would say that if you had my spiritual master, you would die. You will be finished because Saraswati Thakur was so strict. So the point is, Prabhupada gave it simple and he made it very easy for us and very conducive for us that we can wholeheartedly accept. But Saraswati Thakur, during his time, had a very high standard of chanting japa. And this, Srila Saraswati Thakur would explain as follows. He would say that in the Gaudiya Math, you would have innumerable personalities coming and offering dakshina in the hundi. And you never know where is that money coming from. Somebody could have got it through gambling and made that extra money. And just to save his belly, so to speak, he is giving a portion as charity. So Saraswati Thakur would say, you can digest somebody's karma only when you speak Hari Katha and do Hari Kirtan for him. So if someone is, let's say, offering prasad, let me make it even more simpler. Let's say if someone is offering food, I'm not calling it prasad. Somebody, we are going to somebody's place and they are offering food. We can digest that karma only when we speak Hari Katha, do Hari Kirtan first, and then that brings in the purity to digest the karma of the source of the money from where the vegetables have been purchased to cook the food that is being offered to us. Now Saraswati Thakur said, one-on-one you can digest the karma if the person comes and offers you the money or offers you the food. Then you can speak Hari Katha and you can digest the karma. But innumerable people are coming and offering donations every day in the Hundi. How can we speak Hari Katha to everyone? We don't even know who's coming and from where the money is coming. So Saraswati Thakur said, therefore, you have to chant more to live in the mud, to digest the food, which is carrying the karma of the money which is coming from innumerable sources. Saraswati Thakur said, if you don't do that bhajan of chanting more or speaking more or preaching more or being engaged, then either you will fall from sannyas or you will be patha brashta. You will go astray on your path, or you will be on your path, but you will fall sick in the mud. And many of them were falling sick. That's when Saraswati Thakur said this. He said that Krishna will accept your offerings when you chant and you serve him nicely, then the karma can be digested. Otherwise, if Krishna is not accepting the food and making it prasad, then that karma from innumerable money sources will touch the consciousness. And if our bhakti is not intense enough, then it cannot digest that karma. So Saraswati Thakur was very strict about it, that we have to be very cautious about what we eat. Even Prabhupada was like that. Where is the source? Where is it coming from? His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he would travel, his personal servant once told me, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would ask, who is cooking? Have they finished their rounds for the day? Where is the money coming from? What is the profession the person into? Who is getting the money from where it is being cooked? Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very strict about where he ate. He would say it is better to fast, but not eat in a place that you're not convinced enough. You see? So here, it is so important to see that the food that we eat influences our consciousness. We can just keep eating whatever we want, and then just say, oh, I will chant Hare Krishna and make advancement. The consciousness gets tainted by the food that is being cooked. It's interesting to note that in a fire sacrifice, in a yajna, water is not used, air is not used, but fire is used as a medium. And they describe, you know, Jambudvipe, Bharata Varshe, Bharata Kande, oh, in Jambudvip, in Bharata Varsha, in Bharata Khanda, oh, Amarendra Sharma Nama Ahamasmi Boho, or this personality here sitting here in Bharata Varsha, in Bhumandala, in Jambudvipa, is offering through fire my consciousness to Sri Hari. So in a yajna, fire is used because fire carries the consciousness of the person who is offering. Now interestingly, cooking is dealt with fire all through. So if you are going through a divorce, or you are having a fight with your spouse or with your children, or you're seeing some, lusty, provocative, vulgar message, and you're cooking. So, you know, whether it's driven by lust or anger, by greed or pride, or to show someone how good I am in cooking. Oh, if I cook this Sunday feast where 300 people are coming, then 300 people will ask who's the cook. So more than cooking on a Monday morning, I'm interested in cooking for the Sunday evening because there are more people. So the driving thought process, the impetus, is appreciation. And every person who is being touched by the food with that consciousness is going to be tainted with that consciousness. Unless the person is calling out to Krishna during offering that, oh, please forgive me. I have made so many offenses while I am offering, while I am cooking. Krishna, please forgive me. Please purify. Without tears, why Krishna will accept? Yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparita mashnami prayatatmana. Krishna is making very clear, I am not interested in your patrams and pushpams. I am interested in the bhakti that you offer. So Krishna is not interested in what we keep in front of him. He is interested in what we hide behind us. What is the intention? So since fire is the medium
of carrying consciousness. We eating outside in response. We eating even in places where it's not offered to Sri Hari, however sattvic it may be, it is still carrying consciousness. And that will destroy eventually, will wither away our bhajan pravritti. Our desire to chant the holy name will come down. We will pick up our beads, we will fall asleep. We will pick up our beads and we get distracted by our phone and talking to other people, and then half around we just drop it and we will say we come back to it later. But when watching TV or Netflix or sleeping, we will be very, very absorbed. But why is it coming down? Shuddhi. Ahara Shuddhi. So Ahara Shuddhi not just means cleanliness externally, as far as washing and cleaning all the vegetables, but Ahara Shuddhi also means internally as the consciousness of the cook. So as devotees, it's very important. Cherur Havishyam Bunjana. You see, we can skim through the Bhagavatam and we say that we have read it 3 times. But it's very important to dive deep. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj would always say this, that if you swim on the surface of water, you will just get plastic bag and fish. But only when you dive deep will you get the pearl. So every phrase of Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us something. And Prabhupada was very particular about this, offering to Krishna and keeping it simple like that. Prabhupada also said, initially we attract the mass with very opulent cooking. But then as we make advancement, Bhalana khai ve aro bhalana bari ve, gramya katha na cheni ve aro gramya katha na boli ve, braje radha krishna manasi seva kari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami as he was making advancement, Bhalana khai ve aro bhalana bari ve, or don't dress very opulently and don't eat very opulently. Even if it is prasadam, be very conscious. Be very conscious. 50% of our belly with food, remaining 25% with water and remaining 25% with air. Just like a pressure cooker. If you fill up the pressure cooker with rice and dal saying, I'm going to make khichdi, it's just going to explode. You have to have the right proportion and give enough place in the pressure cooker for right cooking. And our body is no exception. Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi at Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu. Very, very famous story. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left, it was Vishnu Priya Devi who would worship the deity of Shashinandan Gaurahari. And she would chant a round of japa and keep one grain of rice aside. Chant another round of japa and keep one grain of rice aside. And at the end of the day, how many rounds she chanted, so many rice grains she has kept aside, that's what she will cook and offer to Shashinandan Gaurahari and accept his prasad. Bah. In Hindi, sometimes the devotees, we joke and we say, teen bar bhojan, bhajan ek bar. It may be aaye adchan hat. That we will eat 3 times. But bhajan, our chanting of the holy name and hearing Hari Katha, oh, very, very weak. We will sleep during Hari Katha, we will sleep during japa. The only thing we don't sleep is prasad. So we must be very, very careful when we are entering the movement of Krishna consciousness. We get attracted to prasadam. We encourage everyone to get attracted to prasadam. It's very wonderful because it's Krishna adharamrita. But as we make advancement, we want to make sure we want to eat healthy. We want to live long so that we perform bhakti. We want to eat healthy in the right choice, in the right quantity, in the right quality, in the right consciousness at the right time. Everything must be proper. The food that we eat is actually Mother Sita. What we honor, the prasadam that we honor is Mother Sita. Sripada Indra Prabhu would say this. Sripada Indra Prabhu would say, the prasadam that we honor is Mother Sita. If we see that prasad and we are overwhelmed with the greed that I want 2 more puris, I want half a cup of halwa, I want little bit of this, I want more for my tongue, oh, that is Ravana. So he's eating. He's having prasad, but he's not honoring prasad. He's eating prasad. That is Ravana Pravriti. But by seeing Mother Sita at Ashok Vatika, if Hanuman is remembering Ramachandra, then that is Hanuman Pravriti. So if one sees the prasad and remembers, oh, this has been tasted by Radha Gopinath. This has been tasted by my Radha Govinda Dev. Oh, this puri, this kachori, oh, this has been tasted by the lips of Radha Madan Mohan Dev. Oh, then that is devotional. That is honoring prasad. Prabhupada always used the word honoring prasad and not eating prasad. So it is a science. It is a limb of bhakti which needs the right consciousness to observe, just like deity worship. You can't just get there and embrace a deity. Or you can just pick up kartal and mridanga and bang it the way we want. There's a proper etiquette in which we serve Krishna. So similarly, prasad is prasad uchishta sevan. It is a path by which we serve Hari. So by looking at that prasad, if we remember Krishna, then that is the vision of Hanuman. And if we look at that prasad and we don't remember Sri Hari, and it's just about me devouring and savoring it more and more, then that is the same Mother Sita, but now we are Ravana. So here it is so important, Havishyan Bhunjana. In Hemante Prathame Masi, in the first month of the pre-winter, the gopis of Vrindavan, the young tender-hearted girls, they are performing this vrat very severely. They are very careful about what they eat. And it's not just for this one month. They were austere in other months also. But it's so interesting that by Krishna's mercy, they got Krishna in one month. So it's not that they were austere only for one month. They were always austere. But Krishna is so merciful that Krishna, who revealed himself to Dhruva in 6 months, he revealed to the gopis in 1 month. He revealed to Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj in 7 days. So merciful. Causeless. Ahaituki Kripa. He can decide whenever he wants to give mercy. So now the fourth phrase. Please forgive me, devotees, if I'm going very slow. But it's always nice to study Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, don't read it like a magazine. Study word by word. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat, Vibhu Sarva Ashray, Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthe Kai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to study like this. So we are going slow, but gaining so many points out of it. Fourth line says, Katyayani Archana Vratam. They worshipped Katyayani. Archana Vratam. The Vrata was of Archana, the worship. And whom did they worship? They worshipped Katyayani. Very, very important. At this point, Sripad Harisuri comments with a very, very beautiful verse in his Bhakti Rasayan. Sripad Harisuri says, Bhavya Pradahi Bhavo Bhuvi Santi Yadya Apta Tathapi Katamopi Na Matru Tulya Janantya Ittam Aparan Apahaya Devan Anarthu Ishta Varadam Jan Mataramva. Sripad Harisuri is commenting as to Katyayani Archanam Vratam, that why the gopis worshipped Katyayani. Sripad Harisuri says, Bhavya Pradahi Bhavo Bhuvi Santi. On earth, we see when we live a life that there are so many people who are good to us. Bhavya Prada. And they give us gifts. Bhavya means very big, and Prada means to give. Prakrishta Rupena Dadati. So there are so many people who give us so many things. They give us food, clothing, shelter. They give us gifts. They give us education. They give us health care. They give us comforts and luxury. They give us favor and assistance. Bhavya Pradahi Bhavo. There are so many people, Bhuvi Santi, on earth. There are people like that. But as we lead one's life, we come to this realization, Apta Tathapi Katamopi Na Matru Tulya. There is no one like one's mother. The gift that the mother gives, the whole world put together cannot give. This the gopis realized as they were young itself. That we are abala, we are helpless, we are women who are going to become women who are completely helpless and desperate, seeking shelter from someone. And they realize that Bhavya Pradahi Bhavo Bhuvi Santi Yadya. Even if there are so many people who will give us benedictions, there cannot be anybody like Mother. Therefore, they went to Mother Katyayani, asking Krishna as the benediction. They could have gone to, because Sripad Harisuri is asking this question, why didn't they go to Shiva why didn't they go to other demigods? So, Jananti Ittham Aparan Apahaya Devan. They understood, just like other people gift us different things in life, demigods can also gift, but at the end of the day, the mother is the mother. So Katyayani is the mother. Amba Nupura Chandra Mauli Ravala Aparna Uma Parvati Kali Haimavati Shiva Trinayani Katyayani Bhairani Savitri Navayovani Shubha Krita Samrajya Lakshmi Prada Chidrupi Paradevata Bhagavati Sri Raja Rajeshwari. She is called as Uma, she is called as Parvati, she is called as Chandika, she is called as Durga, she is called as Bhadra Kali, but at the end of the day, she is our mother. She is Jagadamba, she is Jagadhatri. Lord Shiva is considered to be the father of this material creation. and Mother Parvati is Bhavani. Huh? Bhavani. She is Jagadamba, Jagadhatri, Jagadjanani. So the gopis, so Shripad Harisuri is writing, that is why they didn't go to anyone else. Anarchur ishtam varadam jana mataramva. They thought that whatever the demigods, other demigods will give, will still fall short in what the mother can ultimately give. Especially to her daughter, who is not married. So therefore they went straight to Mother Kathiyani. Harisuri comments. This is why they went there. Also, there are very beautiful points made here. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Saratha Darshini Tika, he comments from Harivamsa Puran, Brahma Puran and Vishnu Puran to make this point that these girls, Kumarikas, were actually Nitya Siddhas. They are completely perfect, eternal associates of Krishna, but their utkantha to get Krishna is so tivra. Their hankering, their desire to get Krishna is so intense, Sripad Vishnu Chakravarti comments, that although being eternal associates of Krishna, they are worshipping Mother Katyayani, who eternally worships them. Chakravarti Pad is saying, Mother Katyayani, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Annapurna, they all eternally worship the gopis of Vrindavan. But the gopis are so restless to get Krishna, kaha mora prananath murali vadan, kaha jaun kaha paun Brajendra Nandan, that they are so helpless, where can we go? So they are going to someone who eternally worships them. They are going to worship such a person to get the Krishna who eternally belongs to them. Chakravarti Pad is commenting. This is prema paristhiti. This is the level of prema parakashtha. This is the highest level of prema, where the person who has Krishna thinks he doesn't have, and the person who doesn't have Krishna walks around the world saying, I got Krishna bhakti. So the gopis eternally have Krishna, but still they are thinking, oh, I don't have Krishna. Because with prema comes dainyata or humility. And with humility, you say, I don't have even a gandha, even a fragrance of bhakti, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, I am like that fish. All glories to the fish. The fish is taken out of water, it flaps its wings and gives up his body, but doesn't stay alive. But this golden body of Gauranga has come out of the blue waters of Shamasundar, is trying to flap but still is alive. Therefore, I have no love. I don't even have the love that the fish has for the water. Nahi prema gandha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So those who are eternally Krishnas, they are taking this humble position that I don't have Krishna. And for that, they are serving Katyayani Devi, who eternally serves them. It is like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eternally serving Ishwarapuri and Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who eternally served them, who eternally served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants Krishna. Or in the modern sense, I was remembering the example of His Grace Radhesham Prabhu. His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, when he was doing this 2-year course at Govardhan Eco Village at the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit, Radhesham Prabhu was sitting double seat on cycles when he would get late to the class. And who would teach in that class? Those brahmacharis who were trained up by Radhesham Prabhu would preach and make devotees, and this second generation. So Radhesham Prabhu's preaching effort gave birth to preachers, and those preachers by their preaching gave birth to preachers. So those preachers would give class and Radhesham Prabhu was sitting and taking notes. So I remembered, this is like the gopis worshipping Katyayani Devi. Katyayani Devi is worshipping the gopis, but the gopis now think, oh, I don't have Krishna, and they are worshipping Katyayani Devi. So His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, who has taught the whole generation, is thinking, I don't know the Bhagavatam. And he's so eager that he's ready to sit double seat on a cycle to go and hear someone who has been taught by someone who has been taught by him. So it's so wonderful. This is the culture that the gopis are teaching us. Shripad Harisuri also comments in the Bhakti Rasayan, very beautiful point. He says that the gopis are teaching through this pastime that doesn't matter whichever demigod you worship, the desire to get Krishna must be fixed. To teach this, the gopis are performing Katyayani Vrata. Doesn't matter whether you worship Lord Shiva, whether you worship Katyayani Devi, whether you worship Ganesha. If you are worshipping them to get Krishna as your life and soul, then it is anukul. Just like Rupa Goswami describes that one must worship Ganesha in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and even in our temple in Radha Gopinath, we see Ganesha outside Radha Gopinath. Before you enter to take darshan, you have Ganesha outside. So if the mood is to worship the demigod to get Sri Hari, then we accept it wholeheartedly. Like the girls in Navadvip worship Lord Shiva to get a good husband, and Nimai would go and travel there in Gauravata. So doesn't matter which demigod we worship. Sripad Harisuri says, if the desire is to get Krishna, then it is anukul. But if the desire is to praise that demigod to get something material, then it is pratikul. So to teach us by example, the gopis are performing Katyayanira. Also interesting point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Prabhu kahe sanatana, Krishna se ratana dhana, aneka jatana se milaya. That Prabhu kahe sanatana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling to Sanatana Goswami, Prabhu kahe sanatana, Krishna se ratana dhana. Krishna is such a diamond that aneka jatana se milaya. That he can be gotten only by repeated hard work. Only by innumerable effort and prolonged effort, aneka jatana, lot of hard work, you can get this diamond called Krishna. So to perform that diamond here, to get that diamond, Krishna se ratana dhana, the gopis are performing this vrat where they are waking up early in the morning, which will come ahead. Cold season, Hemanta kal. Now, you know, in Atlanta itself it's cold. And imagine in Vrindavan, it's cold. That to Margarshirsha, and early in the morning they are going to take Yamuna Snan, which is so cold, and young girls, and they are praying to Katyayani Devi, and they are very strict about their eating. So how much is being explained? There is mention about the glories of the time, which is Brahma Muhurta in Hemanta Kal, Margarshirsha Mas, glories about the place, which is Vraja and Yamuna very specifically. Third, glories of austerity, of bathing and performing japa and mantra dhyan. Glories of eating simple food, which is havishya. Glories of worshipping a great devotee, that is Katyayani, Vaishnava Seva. Glories of having natural paraphernalia, as organic as possible, because it's all village and forest material. And most importantly, one pointed mode of ananya bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Sarva upadhi vinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikeshasya sevanam ahaituki apratihata yayatma su prasidati. So all the definitions of bhakti are getting a green tick here. So this is the discussion on the first verse. Now we continue ahead. The second verse.
Aplutyam bhasika lindya jalante chodite rune kritva pratikritam devim Anarsu nripasai katim gandaihi malyaihi surabhibhir balibhi bhupadipakaihi uchavachaihi upaharaihi pravala phalatandulaihi.
So verse 2 and 3 are together. Taken it together. Translation. My dear king, so this is Shukadev Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. So here the word you see. Nripa has been used. O king. My dear king, after they had bathed in the waters of Yamuna, just as the sun was rising, the gopis made an earthen deity of goddess Durga on the river bank. Then they worshipped her with such aromatic substances like sandalwood pulp, along with other items, both opulent and simple, including lamps, fruits, betel nuts, newly grown leaves, and fragrant garlands and incense. Purport. The word balibihi in this verse indicates offerings of clothing, ornaments, food, and so on. So Shripad Sanatana Goswami, to this verse he comments by saying, why is it that their puja, Katyayani Vrat, has been described? It's not just the fact that externally it has been mentioned that they performed the Vrat. The order has been described. That they were bathing in the water of the Yamuna, just as the sun was rising. So Brahma Muhurta Yamuna Snan. Then second, they made an earthen deity of goddess Durga. Then they worshipped her with sandalwood pulp and other ingredients. So Shripad Sanatana Goswami says, why is Shukdev Goswami describing this? Two reasons. One, Shukdev Goswami has Bhav Aves. He's so absorbed in the Leela that he's picking out even the minute details. As Srila Radhanath Maharaj says, the expression of love is attention to detail. So the fact that Shripad Shukadev Goswami is really absorbed in the pastime is like a CCTV camera who's catching every detail. What time of the day, where, water, what are they using, earthen deity, what paraphernalia are they using. So reason one, he is bhava avishta. He is completely absorbed in his leela pravesh, in the entrance of the pastime. That's one. Second, Shukadev Goswami is teaching the sadhakas how to perform this vrata. Because this desire may come in the heart, just like in the 8th canto, how to perform payovrata. If we can get Vamande by payovrata, 12 days of milk fast, how to perform it? If Narayan Kavacha is protecting, how to armor ourselves with the Narayan Kavacha? So there is paddhati, there is proper sequence, how to perform it, which direction to face, how to perform achman, where to, there is anganyas, how to touch different parts of the body, so and so forth. How to perform the payovrata in the 8th canto, how to armor ourselves with the, arm ourselves with the Narayan Kavacha in the 6th canto, and now how to perform the Katyayani vrata in the 10th canto. Every canto is describing one vrata that the sadhaka can perform to purify his heart. So, different words are used here. Aplutya, which means bathing, so Swanta is used here, Aplutya, they are in the water. Ambhasi means water. So ambhasi, in the water, being while bathing in the water, which water? Kalindya. So again, word is being used. We will see again and again. Shukadev Goswami uses the word Kalindi Yamuna, because what is of importance is repeated again and again. Yamuna is very, very glorious. In one purport, Prabhupada mentions this point. With respect to Ganga and Yamuna. So the Prabhupada says, when Ganga is purified 100 times, she becomes Yamuna. So Yamuna is very, very glorious. Rupa Goswami says, Maam punatu sarvada aravinda bandhu nandini. O Yamuna, who is the daughter of sun god, and the sun is the friend of the lotus, because when the sun rises, the lotus opens. So Maam punatu, Rupa Goswami says, O Yamuna Rani, please purify me. Punatu. May you purify me. Maam punatu sarvada, eternally. Who are you? Aravinda, which means lotus. Bandhu, friend. So who is the friend of the lotus? That's the sun. So Aravinda bandhu nandini, anandini, she who gives pleasure to the sun as the daughter. So Yamuna is the daughter of the sun, who is the friend of the lotus. So Rupa Goswami is also composing Yamunashtakam. Then also we find Shripad Vallabhacharya Mahaprabhu from the Pushtimarg Sampradaya is also composing a Yamunashtakam. In fact, in their Sampradaya, as much as we give prominence to Radha and Krishna, they give prominence to Kalindi and Krishna. So therefore you see Shripad Vallabhacharya, the famous picture, you will have Giridhari Gopal standing, Srinadji, and on one side is Shripad Vallabhacharya, and on the other side is Kalindi. Yamuna in a very blue complexioned body offering a garland. In fact, there is a Kalindi Yamuna temple also. I believe it's in Gokul Mahavan, very close to Ukhalbandhan. We find that this very beautiful temple of Kalindi Yamuna. So therefore, we must have complete faith in Yamuna Rani. Even if we are away from Braj, every morning we face the east direction and we bow down to Yamuna. And we can chant the names of Yamuna. We can chant the Yamuna Ashtakam. By chanting, we give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. Yamuna Rani is also the Abhinna Swarup, the non-different manifestation of Vishakha Sakhi. In that way, by taking mercy of Yamuna Rani, one can get the mercy of Vishakha Sakhi. So here, the gopis are taking shelter of Yamuna. Aplutya Ambhasi Kalindyaha, in bathing in the waters of the Yamuna, what did they do? When was this? Udite Arune. So Udita means like Udilo Aruna Purabhaje. Udita, which means to rise. What is rising? Aruna. So now interestingly, the word Aruna refers to the driver of the sun god. And he's an interesting driver. He has no legs. He's driving the chariot of Suryadev and he has no legs. And interestingly, his face is towards Suryadev. So it's very interesting. He's facing towards Suryadev, who's sitting behind, and his body is moving ahead as he's driving the chariot. So it's described wherever Suryadev goes, he is carried there or he is transported there by Aruna. Therefore, as the sun is rising, first rays of the sun is considered to be the chariot driver. And because it is red, the word Aruna also refers to red color. Vamshi vibhushita karan navanira dabhat pitambarad Aruna bimba phalad dharoshthat purnendu sundara mukhat aravinda netrat krishnat param kimapi tattvamaham na jane. I found that Krishna, Vamshi vibhushita karan, who has a flute in his hand, and navanira dabhat, his complexion is like a monsoon cloud, and pitambarad, his dhoti is like the lightning. Pitambarad Aruna Bimba Phala Dharoshthad. And his lips are like a bimba fruit, but they're as red as a crimson red like a bimba fruit. So why the word Aruna is used as red there? Because Aruna is the driver for Suryadev. And as the sun rises, initially, as he's rising and setting, the color that the sky has is red. And therefore that's the link. So here it's interesting. Aplutya Ambhasi Kalindya. As they were in the water of the Kalindya, what was the color of the sky? Udite Arune. It was red. So early in the morning, during Brahma Muhurta, one should not sleep, one is here in the water. What are the gopis then doing? Kritva Pratikritam. They made a deity. Pratikritam means a deity. They made a deity. Of whom? Devim. Of Katyayani Devi. They made with mud. With mud, they are making a deity on the banks of the Yamuna. But interestingly, Shukdev Goswami is saying Jala Ante. They made it underwater. Why? Because they would make it on the banks of the surface, the banks of Yamuna, but the waves of Yamuna would wash them and bring them into the water. So such details are described in the Bhagavatam, that they made the earthen deity of Katyayani, because they didn't have a full-fledged deity. So they would make it in the morning, go to bathe, and by then it's washed up. So every day the gopis, the Kumarika, would make a small tent of deity of Katyayani. And Yamuna would go, be attracted and carry Katyayani in for Yamuna's snan. So because again and again the sand particles would be taken in the water, Shukdev Goswami says, Jala Ante, this was inside. Now at this point, Sripad Sanatana Goswami is commenting and saying, why were they making a deity? It is to show the world that God is a person. When you have to do dhyan, you cannot do dhyan of Brahma Jyoti or Brahman. Sarvam khalu idam brahma, tattvam asi, prajnana brahma, aham brahmasmi. You cannot just say, I am going to meditate on the Vishwaroop. You need a deity form to meditate, personal feature. And to teach this, Sripad Sanatana Goswami says, to better their meditation, the gopis are making a deity. Also to show the sadhaka, they must focus on deity worship if they want to have God realization. If they want to find Krishna as their husband, even the gopis are doing Vigraha Seva. They are doing Sadhu Sangha with other gopis. And eventually they will do Nam Kirtan. And they are doing Bhagavad Shravan also. They are hearing the flute of Krishna. And Mathura Vas in Yamuna. And they are doing Sri Murti Prem Seva. They are doing deity worship. So all Panchanga Bhakti they are performing according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now, interestingly, as they are doing this, the next verse, the third verse, describes the order in which they are performing. What are they doing? Gandha, Mala, let me get to the Sanskrit. So they have Gandha, they have Mala, and they have Bali, they have Dhupa, they have Deepaka, they have Upahara, they have Pravala, they have Phala, and they have Tandula. So interestingly, word by word, Gandha means sandalwood pulp, something very fragrant, aromatic, sandalwood pulp. The word Surabhi is actually an adjective which goes with everything. Surabhi here is beautiful, attractive, aromatic. It goes with everything. It goes with Gandha, it goes with Mala, it goes with Bali, it goes with Rupa, goes with Deepak, goes with Upahara, goes with Pravala, goes with Phala, goes with Tandula. Now what they mean? Gandha means sandalwood pulp, Mala means flowers, so Bali means nice, very wonderful gifts. They are also offering Dhupa and Deepaka, which means incense stick, Agarbati and ghee lamp, and Uccha, Avacha, Upahara. Uccha means very opulent, And avacha means not so opulent, simple. Upahara. So they were offering some very opulent food and at the same time some simple khichdi. And at the same time pravala. Pravala vala fal. What is that? Pravala rakri komare. Vaya bhayat purat kare prabhuta sampadalaye kadakari shati hamam kripakatasha bhajana. So pravala word has been used. Pravala means leaves and buds. And phala means fruit and tandula means rice. So these are the samagri, these are the ingredients for the worship. Anybody can arrange for them. So attractive, fragrant sandalwood, flowers, garlands, gifts, incense sticks, ghee lamps, opulent food and simple food, leaves, fruits and rice. Very wonderful. But the interesting point here is, the acharyas are commenting that this is not the order in which aarti is to be performed. You see, it's interesting that at this point the acharyas are commenting that there is krama bhanga, which means there is the order has been broken. Because when you wake the deitya, first you give some sweets, balbhog. And after that, gandha, pushpa, dupdeep, naivedya, ityadi. But here, first gandha, then mala, then bali, then dupa, then deepak, then upahara. Then there is ahara, something to eat. Then there is break of, there are many breaks here. First there should be some ahara or upahara. Then after that there must be pravala, which means leaves, shringar, phala ityadi. And after that you offer other things. You first offer naivedya, then you offer little basic flowers, then gandha, pushpa, dhup, deep, naivedya. But here they are saying first they are offering gandha, then mala, then bali, then dupa, then deepak, then ahara, then pravala, then phala, then tandula. So there is krama bhanga here. And why is that happening? One, because the gopis are so absorbed in Krishna, they don't know what they are offering. They don't know what they are offering. It was so interesting that one very senior Prabhupada disciple once came to one temple and he was performing Mangal Arati. And the person helping him in the Mangal Arati was keeping the articles ready. He was having agarbatti, then ghee lamp and other things, water and ityadi. But it was so fascinating, the Prabhupada disciple, whatever ingredient you keep and arrange, he would pick the ingredient of his own and he would offer. So in the next two altars, like ghee lamp is being offered and he would offer water, after which there was agarbatti. So at the and this person who's keeping it ready, he's thinking, what is Prabhu offering? But at the end, when he spoke to Prabhu, Prabhu said, what to do? I saw Krishna Balaram and I was seeing their beauty. I was not interested in what I'm offering. I just wanted to offer the whole plate to them. So I personally forgot what order it has to be offered in. And at that time, his godbrother said, oh, you're following the gopis of Vrindavan. Just like in the Katyayani Vrat, the gopis went topsy-turvy in their arati because they were so absorbed in Krishna, they were not interested in what 4237 has to be offered because their mind was completely at Krishna. And it was the mind through which we calculate, this comes first, this comes second, this comes third, that mind was with Krishna. So how do they calculate? So this is one reason. Or the other reason, the gopis may have performed it properly, but Shukadeva Goswami... Shukadeva Goswami is so absorbed in the Leela that he is speaking whatever he wants to. So in this way our acharyas have described Sadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abhatya Vatyapi Namani Anantasya Yasho Ankitaniyat Shrunvanti Gayanti Grinhanti Sadhava. That Shukadeva Goswami is speaking that Bhagavatam, which may externally have flaws. It may, sometimes the meter may be broken, Sanskrit meter may be broken, sometimes the order of the aarti is topsy-turvy, sometimes the words don't match the meaning, but it is spoken from the heart of Shukadeva Goswami, who is so eager to describe the pastime, whose heart and mind and consciousness are so absorbed at the feet of Shama Sundar, that he doesn't know what he is speaking. The order is going topsy-turvy and it doesn't matter. Because he's a Premi Bhakta. The gopis are Premi Bhaktas. Shukadeva Goswami is a Premi Bhakta. But we shouldn't give this excuse for going wrong in our arati.
we have to keep it as given by our acharyas. So it's so wonderful that even the sun heat is not there for the gopis. They're in, it's so cold. Sun has not risen, so there is no heat. And it's winter time, pre-winter, and that to Yamuna. And they're ready to perform this austerity. And Srila Prabhupada would always say this. Prabhupada in the 60s and the 70s would say, waking up early in the classes we can hear, waking up early in the morning, taking a cold water bath. Why? Because Prabhupada is an eternal associate of the gopis of Vrindavan. They are used to taking Hemante Prathame Masi, bathing in the Yamuna. That Yamuna who has touched the feet of Krishna as soon as Krishna appeared in this world, and Vasudeva Maharaj was carrying Krishna, Yamuna, welcome. Krishna. It is this Yamuna for whom Krishna jumped to kick Kaliya out. Viloke Dushitam Krishnam Krishna Krishna Hina Vibhu. Sripad Harisuri comments there by saying Krishna did favor on Yamuna and Kaliya. By jumping into Yamuna and by dancing on Kaliya, he did favor. Why? At the end of the day, people of the like-minded nature, they always cling on to each other. Why? Krishna is all attractive, so Krishna. She flows dark, Yamuna, therefore she's Krishna. And the snake is black complexion, therefore he's Krishna. So therefore, ultimately it is Krishna jumping into Krishna to kick Krishna, snake, black snake, Krishna Ahi out. At the end of the day, they're all Krishna Varga, Krishna Varana. And they're kind to each other. Kaliya is kind to Yamuna by giving Krishna darshan. Krishna is kind to Kaliya by dancing on the hood. Yamuna is kind to Krishna by giving the water to everyone. So mutually they are helping each other in the family. So this is very wonderful like that. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami is describing this about the gopis of Vrindavan. Now let's take the fourth verse, which is the last in this discussion, and then we will stop. This is the ultimate conclusion of what the gopis are chanting. The fourth verse is the prayers of the gopis. Just a humble appeal here, that if devotees can memorize this one verse and offer it to Krishna, you're presiding Ishtadev at home or the local temple for this whole month, it will be very wonderful. Because this is Katyayani Mas, and this is the Katyayani Vrat mantra, which has been spoken by the gopis of Vrindavan to Sri Krishna.
Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayoginyadhishwari Nanda Gopasutam Devi Patimme Kurute Namaha Iti Mantram Japantyastaha Pujam Chakru Kumarikaha.
Point to be noted again, Pujam Chakru Kumarikaha. Sudhir Goswami is again and again saying, oh, they were tender hearted girls, less than 6 years old. Now, a few interesting points in this this verse. Five invocations for Katyayani Devi has been made. The first is Katyayani. Five words have been used. Katyayani is the first. Second is Mahamaye. Third is Mahayogini. Fourth is Adhishwari. And fifth is Devi. Katyayani is one, Mahamaya is the second, Mahayogini is the third, Adhishwari is the fourth, and Devi is the fifth. So four lines is the prayer. Two lines describe Katyayani Devi, and next two lines describe the gopi's heart's desire. So in the first two lines, the different adjectives, the power prowess of Katyayani Devi has been described. And in the next two lines, Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Make that son of Nanda Maharaj as our husband. So the first two lines glorify Katyayani Devi, and the next two lines is an expression of their desire to marry Krishna. Now, why these five names have been used, our acharyas have opened up the treasure box. First invocation is Katyayani. By calling Katyayani, it is like the child calling out to the mother. It is like calling Amba. Amba means that mother who has kept the child 9 months in the womb.
ఓ కాత్యాయని, ఓ జగత్ జనని, యు ఆర్ ద మదర్. దట్ ఈస్ ద ఫస్ట్ ఇన్వోకేషన్, ద మదర్లీ కాల్. నౌ దే ఆర్ టెలింగ్ ద మదర్, దే ఆర్ బిసీచింగ్ కాత్యాయని దేవి, ప్లీజ్ గివ్ కృష్ణ ద సన్ ఆఫ్ నంద మహారాజ్ యాజ్ అవర్ హస్బెండ్. టు విచ్ కాత్యాయని దేవి మే సే, why don't you go to anyone else for this benediction? Why are you coming to me? They are saying, Mahamaya. Oh, you are the energy of the Lord. Whatever the energetic does is by the help of the energy. You are not just Maya Shakti, which is the energy. You are Mahamaya. You are the energy. The energetic cannot move without the energy. Therefore, to catch the energetic, we are taking shelter of the energy. This is the first meaning. You are the great energy. So you can fulfill our desires. At the same time, you can push this desire in the heart of Krishna to marry us. You can do that. Mahamaya. Also, the word Mahamaya has one more meaning. The word Mahamaya here represents the goddess of great illusion. Please put an illusory spell on our parents so that they don't find any other boy except Krishna. Hey Katyayani, Mahamaya, first meaning you are the great energy. You can aghatana ghatana pratiyasi shakti. You have the power potency of making impossible into possible, first. Second, you can, by the energy, you can fulfill the, you can give the energetic to the jivas. You can fulfill our desire, and at the same time, you can push this desire, kamana shakti, in the heart of Krishna. He is up the kam, but if you push a desire, he will get this desire to marry us. And third, you are the goddess of great illusion. Put an illusory spell on our parents, all of our parents, so that they don't find any other boy except Krishna. They don't push us into a marriage. Mahamaya. Now, third invocation, Mahayogini. Why is this, how is this in invocation? Now, the word Mahayogini comes from the root word yoga. Yoga means to connect. Yoga means to connect. When the Jivatma connects with the Paramatma, it's called yoga. Now, how you connect, you can call it as Dhyana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, ityadi. But yoga means to connect. So the person who performs yoga is yogi. And the female is yogini. And she who does this maha task of connecting all the jivas to Krishna is Mahayogini. You can do this. You can connect us to Krishna. We are his parts and parcels. And you can perform this. Impossible to possible can be done by you. To which Katyayani Devi is saying, I can do it, but I fear Lakshmi. Lakshmi is the Ardhangini of Vishnu. If I give this benediction, then all of you can become the consorts of the Lord. Then I fear Lakshmi, you know, because I also worship her feet. And I fear her. So these are conversations the acharyas are giving between the invocations. Why these words are used? So if the gopis say Mahayogini, then Katyayani Devi says, but if I give you this desire of fulfilling your desire by uniting you with Krishna, then I fear Lakshmi and other consorts. So what do I do for that? So to break that argument, the gopis are calling her as Adhishwari. You are Adhishwari. You are filled with all unlimited opulences. You sit on a tiger or a lion. Why do you have to fear any Lakshmi? Adhi Lakshmi, Adhi Ishwari. You are Nirbhaya. You don't fear anyone. Anyone who takes shelter of your lotus feet becomes fearless. So how are you saying you fear? So you are Adhishwari. Please, please do this. Please fulfill this desire. At that time, our Katyayani Devi is thinking. Thinking. To which the acharyas explain, the gopis are pushing her with another sambodhan, with another invocation by saying, Devi. Now the word Deva has two meanings, primary meanings. First is Freedomana, he who plays. And second is Jyotyamana, he who is very effulgent. And O Devi, you have both these characteristics. You play wonderfully to your heart's content. You play in the heart of your devotee. And at the same time, you are very effulgent. And effulgence means taking away all darkness of obscurity, of confusion. So we have this confusion whether or not we will get Krishna. You are Devi, you are effulgent. Please play around with your effulgence by clearing this path for us with the light of your grace and giving us the fulfillment of our desire. They are also saying, because you love to play, the word Deva can also mean play, why don't you play a trick here? Why don't you yourself speak to Krishna and do something? Please, through your effulgence, you clear the path for us. And through your playful nature, play from our side. Ask Krishna, speak to him, so that he doesn't agree to anyone except us. Give him this desire, because Katyayani Devi is saying, okay, I am ready to give this desire, but Krishna must have desire to marry, he is still young. So they are saying, why don't you speak to him and give the seed of desire? You play from our side, please. And at the same time, Jyotyaman, by your effulgence, you take away all our, dispel and dissipate all darkness, take away everything, take all the obscurity and all the confusion away. Please help us. So in this way, five Sambodhans are given. Katyayani, Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Adhishwari and Devi. And finally, what do they say? Nanda Gopa Sutam. Why Nanda Gopa Sutam? They are also saying that actually for marriages, they must be of the same caste. We are Gopis and he is Nanda Gopa Suta. He is the son of Nanda Gopa and we are also Gopis. So we are of the same caste. So therefore, according to caste, there shouldn't be a problem. It won't be so difficult for you, Katyayani. It is possible. It's not, we are not asking for an inter-caste marriage. So the Nanda Gopa Sutam word is used with this desire of the gopis that we are of the same caste. So it's easier for you. It is really easy. Also, point to be noted here is that they are calling Krishna as Gopa. Why? Because the gopis here are attracted to that Gopa Vesh. Gopa Vesh with dhoti tied to the waist, a waist cloth, flute, Gopa Vesh, Venukar, Navakishore, Natavar, dancing Gopal. That is the form which has attracted their heart. Therefore, they are talking about Gopa. Also, the point to be noted here is this is not a mantra that the gopis have fabricated on their own. So one should never fabricate a mantra to get the Supreme Lord. This is a mantra which has been eternally chanted by great souls like Narada Muni also. It is coming down generations and now the gopis are gone. So this mantra they are chanting. Chakravarti Pat now comes to our rescue in this verse by commenting on the last line, Patim me kuru te namaha. They are not using, they are using me, which means singular. They could have used bahuvachan, plural sense, that you please appear, give Krishna as our husband. But Chakravarti Pat says this is the mamatva that they have. This is the possessive nature that they have, that every gopi is singularly chanting that may that Krishna be my husband. So therefore, this is not a collective prayer. It is a singular prayer that they are collectively chanting. Also, the word kuru has been used. Kuru means do. You do this for me, like that. Kuru. Now, they could have respectfully said karaya, or they could have said dehi. Oh, please give Krishna as a husband, or you please kindly do this for us. They are not using the word. Pati me kuru te namaha. Chakravarti Pad is saying that gopis in authority are telling Katyayani Devi, you do this for us. Why? Because that shows their balya chapalta, their stubbornness in as child. At the same time, it also shows their nishtha, that they want Krishna somehow, that we are not going to go anywhere. Parents may or may not be able to do it. Others may or may not be able to do it. Mother, you just do it for us. We are not going to go anywhere else. Mother, we are your children. You please do it for us. Kari dhava. You know, we don't want to hear anything. No, no, no. We don't want to hear an excuse. Please do it for us. Like they're really fixed on this path. So this is Chakravarti Pat's point. Okay. To which Katyayani Devi is saying that... Interestingly, Katyayani Devi is trying to speak that how do you want me to do it? Do you want me to inspire your parents? Do you want me to inspire Krishna? Do you want me to make the astrological kala paramashobhanam astrologically very favorable? How do you want me to do it? So they say, no, no, you do it. We don't care how it is done. Kuru. Patime Kuru Te Namaha. You personally do it for us. We don't want to care about astrological time and parents and this and that. You just do it. To which Katyayani Devi is rebuttaling to say, but Krishna has not even studied anything. He doesn't even have Upanayan. How can we do it? So the gopis are saying, okay, what you do is, let's do a Gandharva Viva for now. Out of the 8 types of Viva, let's have a Gandharva Viva where Krishna agrees mutually and we agree mutually. There may not be any public announcement. There may be a heart-to-heart announcement. Even if nobody knows, even if nobody understands, no problem. Let Krishna accept us and let us accept Krishna and O Katyayani Devi as the mother, you be the witness for these interactions. Patimme Kuru Te Namaha. So all of these emotions are explained in that word Kuru. Acharyas are also explaining that as they are performing this vrat, they enter the water every morning holding hands. They wake up early in the morning. They call out the names of all the other gopis. And it's dark, so they can't walk. They hold hands and they walk. And they call out to Krishna very loudly. The names of Krishna are chanted very loudly. You can see this Katyayani Mahamaya after this verse, Shukdev Goswami just in English. Shukdev Goswami is explaining, thus for the entire month, the girls carried out their vow and properly worshipped goddess Bhadrakali, fully absorbing their minds in Krishna and meditating upon the following thought, may the son of Nanda become my husband. Each day they rose at dawn, calling out to one another by name. They all held hands and loudly sang the glories of Krishna while going to the Kalindi to take their bath. So Srila Jiva Goswami is commenting in this section by saying, again there is a problem here. Shukdev Goswami has already previously described that they woke up early in the morning and they used all these ingredients. Now, after Katyayani Mahamaya, again Shukdev Goswami is saying early in the morning they would wake up. So again there is Krama Bhanga. So why would you break the chronological order? Like you would just say that they woke up, they worshipped, and they chanted this mantra of Katyayani and the story continues. But Srila Jiva Goswami says again, our Shukdev Goswami is so bhava-avishtha, he is so entered, so absorbed in trance that he is speaking the same thing over and over and over again and the order is broken. But it doesn't matter. And then he says, now what is Shukdev Goswami describing? That early in the morning they would wake up, they would call out to each other so that they wake up. So this is another quality. Waking up a devotee when the devotee has not woken up on time to chant or to attend Mangalarti. That's following the gopis. And early in the morning, because there were stones and sometimes ditches and holes, manholes, they would hold their hands and they would walk so that they have support for each other. Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Sridhar Swami is commenting in his Bhavartha Deepika that Shukdev Goswami is breaking the krama because of Bhavavish. Jiva Goswami is commenting that before what has been described is secondary, Gauda. But now the Mukhya Anga has been described of calling out the names of Krishna. So therefore it makes perfect sense. First, there is secondary symptoms of worship. Now there is primary symptom of worship of being with the devotees and performing Naam Sankirtan. Because the gopis are meeting other gopis early in the morning, holding hands, which is Sankirtan, and they're calling out the names of Krishna and then they get Krishna. So first is the secondary symptoms of worship, then the mantra, then the primary worship. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Also, Srila Sanatan Goswami at this point is commenting a very, very, very beautiful thing. He says, both in this pastime and in the Damodar Leela, Sankirtan has been performed. He says that in Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda couldn't do it alone. She was running. She could catch Krishna, but she couldn't bind alone. But she depended on other gopis to bring their ropes from their home and tie it end to end, and then Krishna was bound. So in Damodar Leela, there was Sankirtan, group effort to bind Krishna. And even here, in this pastime, there is group effort. Not a single gopi is doing this bhajan on their own. They are holding hands and they are trying to bind Krishna together. But Sanatana Goswami says there is a difference. In Damodar Leela, the Sankirtan and the binding was performed after the stealing of butter. And in this, after the Sankirtan is performed, there is stealing of tea. Sanatana Goswami says, so before Damodar, in Damodar Leela, before the Sankirtan is performed, Krishna has stolen. And in this pastime, after the Sankirtan is performed, Krishna sings. So therefore, Vraje Prasiddham Navanita Chauram describes Damodar Lila and Gopanganam Te Dukula Chauram describes Vastradhara Lila. Aneka Janma Arjita Papa Chauram Chauragraganyam Purushan Manam. So beautiful that if devotees, all of us, we can grasp these points. So waking up early in the morning, taking shelter of Yamuna, taking shelter of the devotees of Vrindavan, and cooperating, worshipping the deity, simple food, archan paddhati, and chanting the holy name, then Krishna willing, we will also be able to bind Krishna, if not in 1 month, but at least in one lifetime. The word used for Katyayani here is Bhadra Kali, because Bhadra means auspiciousness, and Ka means happiness, and Ali means Samuha, group. She who can give varieties and groups of first class happiness is called Bhadrakali. So taking shelter of a great soul is very important. The gopis took shelter, humbly took shelter of Katyayani Devi and lived in the land of Vrindavan, and they chanted the holy name and Krishna stole away whatever attachments they had. Now the different reasons why Krishna stole the clothes will be another discussion altogether. In the interest of time, I will not go there. But it is important to note that that this pastime is very transcendental and is faith instilling in the heart of devotees. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Jada Bharat was almost being sacrificed in front of Katyayani Devi. He was worshipping Krishna. But when he was about to be sacrificed, Katyayani Devi came out of the deity and killed her own devotees to protect the Krishna Bhakta. And here, so there, she is killing her own devotees to protect the Krishna Bhakta. And here, she is protecting anyone who worships them to give Krishna. So this is the mood of Durga. Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vidarti Durga. We should be very, very respectful. When we are worshipping Krishna, we should be very respectful towards the demigods. Last story for the day, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Mayapur, we were hearing recently how there was a Durga Puja procession that was going on. And Srila Prabhupada was on top of the terrace and he saw this very big deity of Durga Devi. And immediately Prabhupada fell flat to the ground offering obeisances. And when he woke up, he had tears in his eyes and he said, Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. Prabhupada said that we worship Durga Devi. She is the creator, maintainer and destroyer of this whole material creation. But we worship her to get Krishna. And Prabhupada smiled and he said, like the gopis of Vrindavan, they worshipped Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. We don't worship Katyayani like the materialists do to get something out of her. But we pray to her like the gopis of Vrindavan in this section to get Krishna as the husband. So I wanted to say this because Prabhupada also referred to this pastime while describing Katyayani Devi to get Krishna as the husband. So at this point, it's 10 minutes past 9, so I will pause and stop this discussion. If there are any questions, comments, I kindly request the devotees to kindly speak and interact. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandvat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a wonderful session. Feeling so blessed to hear all these narrations and pastimes. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. Very nice classroom. Thank you so much. I just have one question. Till now, like, I was in the understanding that we should not worship, like, definitely for attaining Krishna, we can worship, but even for that, so because always we hear, like, Jeev Jagat, so we should not go to Maya Devi or worship. So sometimes, like, when we go to that temple, suppose like when where Durga Devi is there, so is that fine that we can recite this verse given by gopis, or what is the best prayer in front of them what we can recite? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we cannot hear you, Prabhu.
Yes, I'm really sorry, Mataji. I was unaware that it was on the mute. I'll just quickly repeat that definitely one must. All these demigods are way more advanced, exalted, and blessed than all of us. They have been selected by the Supreme Lord to play different roles in this creation process and maintenance process because of their purity and their standing. So we are supposed to bow down to every living being. Amanina Manadena means seeing Krishna's presence in everyone. This is why we don't eat meat. The concept of ahimsa comes because we see Krishna residing in the heart of every living being. So what to speak of the demigods? They're worshipable. If Lord Shiva appears, Lord Brahma appears, Lord Ganesha appears, we bow down. But not an inch do we budge away from our goal, which is the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So Lord Ganesha, we may have to go, sometimes we have to go to a temple, a Ganesha temple, or let's say the Durga temple or a Shiva temple. Some of our family members may be devotees there. So we will have to go. But when we close our eyes and we pray Katyayani Mahamayi Mahayogi Yadishwari. So the important thing is we should not get close to Maya, but we can go very close to Maya Devi. Katyayani Devi. Her illusory energy is something that we have to be careful about. But to take her blessings to get to the feet of Krishna, nothing wrong. Because Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Recently we were hearing from one very exalted devotee how Lord Shiva was explaining to Mother Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. That of all the worship of Vishnu is exalted. So Mother Parvati asked Lord Shiva, but I don't worship Vishnu, I worship you as my life and soul. So what is my destination? So then Lord Shiva smiles and he says, Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchana. Don't worry, O Devi, greater than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of the pure devotee. So indirectly he said, you are good, you keep worshipping me, I will give you Krishna Bhakti. So many such countless examples have been seen where someone who sincerely approaches Lord Shiva and worships these different demigods with the desire to get Krishna, they get benedicted. In fact, on the other hand, there have also been cases where someone has not asked for Krishna and sincerely worshipped Lord Shiva all their life. And naturally, Lord Shiva brings them to the path of Rama Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti. So many such examples. So we have to be very, very grateful. We should not offend anyone. We should be like the chaste wife who loves and follows her husband, but she respects every man around. So our husband is Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Nanda Gopasutam Devim Patim Me Kurute Namaha. So we don't budge an inch away from the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna, but we take help. Whatever help comes our way, we are respectful to all of our superiors.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. You explained, amazingly each and every word with so much depth. We can't thank you enough for that. So, Prabhuji, my question is, there is Andal's Tirupavai, where we find the same mood as this Katyayani Vrata. She is waking up everyone, and then Sitran Sirikale Vandune say with the early morning, she's going and they don't eat many delicious things and not even decorate themselves. So is there any parallel, or is this what Andal is mentioning? Any clarification on that?
Yeah, I haven't read the original text of the text regarding Andal that you were mentioning. But from what you are describing, it seems very similar.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. And one more thing is that we have people, this Lalita Sahasranam and Devi Bhagavatam, and there are people who, there are lots of upasakas of Devi in the south especially. So they say that, you know, Devi is the mother, and so all the three controllers, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, are under her, and so she is the supreme and they glorify her. So is there any reference, what is the origin of this Devi Bhagavatam and also like Lalita Sahasranam, which is they do it equal to Vishnu Sahasranam?
So the interesting thing is, the 18 Puranas that we have, where we find a mention of many of the stotras also, there are many sections coming from Padma Puran, there are many sections coming from Vishnu Puran. Similarly, there are many sections coming from other Puranas also. So the 18 Puranas that Vyasadeva has given, 6 of them are meant for those in the mode of goodness, 6 of them are meant for those in the mode of passion, and 6 of them are meant for those in the mode of ignorance. And interestingly, they bring in a systematic gradual upliftment of consciousness. Like some of the Puranas will even mention that Bhairava form of Lord Shiva is the topmost. Some describe that Katyayani Devi is accepting flesh also. So this is meant for those who are in the mode of ignorance, because they will not give up meat eating. They will not give up drinking. So the concept is, okay, whatever you take, depending on the section of the Shastra, you offer it as an offering to Bhadrakali or Durga, and then you accept. And eventually you get disgusted with that, and then you make advancement. So the point I'm making is, not all of them have to be taken as the ultimate truth for Vaishnavas. Once we come onto the level of Shuddha Vaishnavism, pure Vaishnavism, or pure Bhakti, then one should take Srimad Bhagavatam as Praman. Because sometimes there could be apparent contradiction in different Puranas. If you read the Shiva Mahapurana, it's describing Lord Shiva to be the ultimate. And if you read another Purana, it describes another Devata to be ultimate. And there's nothing wrong there, because you see sometimes it's a competition between the Supreme Lord and his devotee as to who's going to serve whom. Now Krishna is running in fear and Mother Yashoda is running with a stick. It's very difficult to note who's the devotee and who's the Supreme Lord. So similarly, you find sometimes that Mother Durga being the Supreme Lord, Vishnu may bow down to her and take blessings. And sometimes you see Ramachandra may bow down to another demigod, or you may see another demigod bowing down to Narasimha. So in this way, mutually, in the divine path of bhakti, between the bhakta and the Bhagavan, mutual appreciation and worship may be possible. So you may find references where Mother Durga is described to be the mother, and therefore Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are coming and offering obeisances and respect. Nothing wrong. The Supreme Lord is the most grateful person ever. So if we are grateful about little things that we have around, Krishna is grateful to the people whom he has created. So therefore, there may be references about mutual worship of the Supreme Lord worshipping his devotees as much as the devotees are worshipping the Supreme Lord. Ramachandra embracing Hanuman, Hanuman embracing Ramachandra, Krishna worshipping Sudama, Sudama worshipping Krishna. So these references have to be reconciled with the diligence. But however, we have to understand the Supreme Lord is Shri Krishna with Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan, and everything else must be seen with respect to that absolute vision.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. One more question that, so is Subhadra Devi, Jagannath Baladevan Subhadra, is she Bhadrakali or Katyayani to whom they are worshipping? And then she is also the sister of you know, Balaram, like how we see in the past time that she is married to Arjuna. So I was wondering what is her position with respect to Durga Devi and Katyayani.
So there is one energy, Mataji. There are no multifarious energies. It's one energy which splits into different forms. Parasya shaktir vividhai vashruyate. So one energy, just like Prabhupada would give examples of the same electricity which is used to heat and the same electricity which is used to cool. The hot things get cold in a fridge, refrigerator, and cold things get hot in a microwave oven. But it's the same electricity which is used both ways. So the point is, there's no differentiation as this is energy number one, energy number two, energy number three. It's the Supreme Lord's one-pointed internal energy, external energy and marginal energy. So now the external energy service is taken out by Katyayani Devi, the internal energy is taken out by Subhadra Devi, and ultimately Srimati Radharani. and the marginal energy are us. So therefore, different names can be given to the same energy, but they perform different services about at different times. But ultimately, it's the Shakti Tattva of the Supreme Lord. So Subhadra Devi does the service of uniting the Jivas with Krishna. You see in the Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Sudarshan, first is Sudarshan. The Jivas develop a desire to see the Lord, Sudarshana. And after that, one must have the blessing of Baladev, Balaram, that is Guru Tattva. Then the desire to find the Supreme Lord goes intense. Then Subhadra as the Maya curtain opens up, and then we see Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. So in this way, this Chaturdha Murti helps the Jiva to find the Supreme Lord. First Sudarshan, the desire to become God conscious, then the help of Guru, then the removal of Maya, Subhadra, and then finding Jagannath. So there Subhadra is considered to be the Maya Shakti. We also find references of Subhadra as just as Bhadra, especially in the section where the swap of the girl child takes place. There the Supreme Lord calls Subhadra or his energy as He Bhadre, He Ambike. Now Ambika is another name for Katyayani. So they have been mutually interchangeably used in different times and circumstances. And as much as Subhadra is the sister, Katyayani is also the sister. The energy, if you talk with respect to Bhagavan, then it is the energetic and the energy. But if you talk with respect to the person, then it is the brother and the sister. So this has to be understood. Different names can be given according to different services, but it is Parashakti.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavats to you. Thank you for enlightening us, and please give us your association more often. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, do we have time for one more question?
Yes, we can have one last.
Yeah, you are mentioning that the driver of sun god Aruna doesn't have legs. Is there any specific reason, or is there any pastime behind?
I'll have to read the Puranas, Mataji, for that. But this was just a passing comment because the word Aruna was used. I'll have to dig through and do some research to get to the story. I'm pretty sure there is always reasons and there are always stories for it. But I just made a passing comment that was in the main focus. But if you do want, if you give me some time, I can read through the Puranas and give you the reference as to the story as to how he was born without legs, or if he had legs, how he lost them.
Sure, Prabhuji. Just became curious to know since you are quoting it. Thank you so much, Haribo.
Correct. Also, this reminds me of another very beautiful point. Another beautiful point about the driver Aruna is that although he is driving it for sun god and he is driving it ahead, he is looking behind at the sun god, right? So the chariot is moving ahead, but he is looking behind. The reason also this has been used in the context is because although the gopis are moving ahead in their worship towards Katyayani, they are looking behind towards their Lord. Traditionally, someone who is driving the chariot must look ahead in the direction of the chariot. But here, interestingly, Aruna is looking behind, just like the gopis, for worshipping Katyayani externally, but internally they are looking at Sri Krishna, who is the phala, the fruit of their austerity.
Oh, thank you so much for opening up this point, Prabhuji. Hari Bol, Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your class, Prabhuji, and thank you so much for your time. Prabhuji, I means listening to your class, I feel like I missed the chance to following the Katyayani work. May not be able to follow the entire part like bathing in Yamuna and something, but we can do at home like fasting and something like that. So is there any way, like, you know, for Chaturvasa we follow at the end, we follow the Bhishma Pancham, so who have missed that? They can, get the benefit of the entire Chaturmasya by doing that. So is there any way of Katyayani work so that we can follow something?
Yes, actually the same way as it has been mentioned, that we have to wake up early in the morning. We can bathe in the Yamuna by chanting Ganga cha Yamuna chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmada Sindhu Kaveri Jalesmin Sannidhim Kuru. We can also sprinkle drops of Yamuna water if we have a bottle that we've got from Vrindavan chanting the holy name is the mukhya anga, the main practice of bhakti. Ultimately our Gaudiya Sampradaya is driven towards two things, Naam and Dham. Even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he says Sarva Dharman Parityajya, he says Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. He says Vraja, the land of Vrindavan. And he says Maam Ekam. But that Maam is Naam, non-different from Naam. There's no difference between Naam and Nami. So Naam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, taking shelter of Vrindavan continuously by remembering the Leela Sthalis, by chanting the different places in Vrindavan, by keeping our house filled with the Leela Sthalis of Vrindavan, by chanting nice Ashtakams and prayers like Vrindadevi Ashtakam, Yamuna Ashtakam, Govardhan Ashtakam, Vrindavan Vasa Ashtakam, Govardhan Vasa Prarthana Dashakam, Guru Ashtakam, Sad Goswami Ashtakam. These nice Ashtakams we can chant, and we can chant more Japa, and we can keep our eating healthy according to what is good for us. And ultimately it's the teaching of all the acharyas that the easiest way to do is to every day if possible get together with devotees for as long as we can, typically as many hours as possible, and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare. All the points mentioned of deity worship and simple food and austerity, waking up, chanting, they all comprise Katyayani Vrat with the mantra Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogini Adishwari. So in this way, we can pray to Vrinda Devi, who is also worshipable for Katyayani Devi. We can pray to Tulsi, we can do all that. So in this way, by performing bhakti and following the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, we can perform this Vrat as mentioned. We can just make sure that we chant as many rounds as possible, every day, depending on the time that we have. Sometimes we may have more time, sometimes we may have less time, but it's important to chant as many rounds as possible. Sripad Aindra Prabhu, in fact, in July 2010, just a few days before he left his body to enter the eternal pastimes of Krishna, Sripad Aindra Prabhu said, as one of his last statements, he mentioned, chant as many times as you can, chant a lot of rounds, and make sure you die in Vrindavan. That was his statement. So we all can prepare ourselves to work now and samadhi later. We have to plan our, I think most of the devotees on the call maybe in the 30s, 40s, 50s. So it's time that we serve outside the dham, but also repeatedly think of going to the dham to recharge our spiritual batteries, to come back and share it with the world. So in this way, nam and dham can be prioritized in this mass, 1 month.
Prabhuji, since you mentioned about Aindra Prabhu here, would like to know whether the lecture of yours on Aindra Prabhu, is it available in YouTube for our view now?
So, it has been taken down, Mataji, for further editing, and it's not in my hands. I don't even have the lecture. The devotees who recorded it in Australia, I believe they are editing it, so I think all that we all can do, including myself, is wait and hope for the best.
Hari Bol.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, and thank you so much for coming on the conference. I hope you will give your association more often to us. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you,
Hare
so
Krishna,
much.
Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have two questions, Prabhu, if you are okay.
I believe it's already 9:30, so what we can do is, in the interest of everybody's prasadam, since we spoke so much about it, we will stop here. The questions, I think, can be posted privately in the group, and whenever I find little time, I will quickly respond to that. But for now, in the interest of time, I will pass the call back to the organizer. I really thank everyone for kindly joining. If there were mistakes or offenses that I made while speaking emphatically, please kindly forgive me. Please kindly bless me. If you're happy with this service, please don't forget to offer a kind blessing and prayer for me, that Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan continues to engage us in their service. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitana pavanesya vaishnavena namo namo Shri
Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.